Good morning. Happy New Year's to you. We're embarking on a very incredible year, 2019, and I hope that you guys are ready to encounter our great God in this new year. And join me as we dive into God's Word together. We are focusing on the book of Matthew. We've been walking through the book of Matthew. We took a break in the book of Matthew. And we focused on a series in the Old Testament, Christ in the Old Testament. We ended that series, and now we're back in Matthew. And hopefully in 2019, we will be done with Matthew. Amen. Jessica read the text, so let me just go ahead and pray for us, and we'll dive into Matthew chapter 14. God, you are supreme. You are loving. You are patient and faithful. I absolutely love studying about all of your attributes in Scripture. Because by beholding your attributes, God, I'm able to see who I am. I'm able to see the transformation in my own life, in our lives. So I pray this morning that your people are beholding your beauty. I pray that we are desiring to be in your presence. I pray that you speak to our hearts, that you move us. I pray that we are changed forever. So teach us what we do not know. Make us what we are not, and give us what we do not have. And God's people said, amen, amen. The title of today's sermon is The Death of John the Baptist, the death of John the Baptist. Today, some people's fear of death is so strong and their confidence in technology is so great that they are spending tens of thousands of dollars to have their bodies frozen at the time of their death. Do you know that? People are actually doing that? What they're actually hoping is that eventually in the future, doctors are going to figure out a cure for whatever disease they might have. Doctors will figure out a cure for cancer or whatever else it is. And when that cure is found, then they will be able to revive them. They will come back to life. It's absolutely ridiculous. Why would someone even think that way? You know why? Because of fear. The fear of death really paralyzed so many people. And brothers and sisters, there is an antidote for such fear. Maybe you're sitting in this sanctuary this morning and you're saying, Kevin, man, I look around and I see a lot of people are dying, whether it's cancer or whatever it is, murder, whatever it is, and I am just absolutely fearful of death. Listen to me very carefully. The Scripture gives us a great antidote for such fear. And an antidote is trust and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul mentions in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 44 through 57. 54 to 57. When the perishable puts on imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But here it is, verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is exactly what John the Baptist understood here. He understood that Jesus has defeated sin, defeated death. And that's why he embraced death with no problem at all. We notice in this very text in Matthew chapter 14, we see the life of John the Baptist, and we also see the death of John the Baptist. But notice as well, see for yourself, there's another person, and his name is Herod. Do you notice in the text Herod's life in contrast to the life of John the Baptist? John the Baptist lived his life and died glorifying God. And then we notice that Herod lived his life and died glorifying himself. So in Matthew chapter 14, verses 1 through 12, we are told of the death of John the Baptist, Jesus' forerunner, the greatest prophet who ever lived. And the question is, whose life are you patterning your life after? Are you patterning your life after John the Baptist, or is it Herod? This is the application for us. We read this text and we have to ask ourselves, who am I following? Am I following John the Baptist, his life, or is it Herod? An Indiana cemetery has it on a tombstone, and this tombstone is over 100 years old. And on this tombstone is written, here it is, "Pause, stranger, when you pass me by, as you are now, so once was I. As I am now, so you will be. So prepare for death and follow me." An unknown passerby read these words, and he wrote below, and this is what he states: "To follow you, I'm not content until I know which way you went." And this is exactly what Matthew wants you to do. Who are you going to follow? Is it Herod or is it John the Baptist? And he's given us information and details about their lives. So before you choose which one you want to follow, which one you want to pattern your life after, let's dive into the scripture. Let's see for yourself what scripture says about these two men. Notice with me the first point. The first point I want you to observe is the character of John the Baptist. So for me to follow John the Baptist, I want to know what kind of man was John the Baptist. So let's see the character of John the Baptist. Second, notice the character of King Herod. The character of King Herod. Now, before we dive into those two points, I want you to observe with me very carefully. Let me help you understand this narrative, this story. The family tree of Herod was so twisted, filled with seduction, depravity, sinfulness. When we read about Herod in Scripture, there were four specific Herod mentioned in the New Testament. Herod the Great, that we know of in Matthew chapter 2. He was the one responsible for killing a lot of the Jews. He killed the two-year-old kids, right, in Matthew chapter 2, because he wanted to kill Jesus. That's Herod the Great. The Herod here is Herod Antipas. Herod Antipas. He was basically in control over four main areas of that kingdom. Herod Antipas was given this title, Tetrarch. Tetrarch basically means to be over four areas of the kingdom. But I don't want you to miss this. And this is how depraved this family really was. Herod Antipas fell in love with his brother's wife, Philip. That was his brother. Philip's wife was her name was Herodias. And he fell in love with her. So he divorced his first wife and he married Herodias, his brother's wife. To make matters worse, Herodias was the niece of Herod. Do you see how perverse, how wicked Herod was? We watch soap operas such as Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful, and we watch these things, and they're like, how can these people do that? Like, every day, every other day, they have a different boyfriend. They're just swapping girlfriends and boyfriends all over the place. And then we read the scripture, and we read Herod, and we see Young and the Restless, Bold and the Beautiful. We see how perverse they were. Here's a man who left his wife, married his brother's wife, and also his niece. So where does John the Baptist fit in all of this? Here it is. And this is what the narrative is telling us. This story is mentioned in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. John's death is mentioned in 3 out of the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And what Matthew tells us here is that John the Baptist heard of what was going on, heard of what Herod Antipas did by marrying his brother's wife, marrying his niece, and John the Baptist spoke up against it because John the Baptist was a prophet. He was a righteous man. In the text, it gives us an idea that he consistently and continually spoke against it. The text tells us, as we're reading through, what happened. Herod was offended, but his wife specifically, Herodias, was even more offended. And she forced Herod to imprison John the Baptist. Notice very carefully what Scripture says about Herod's sin and Herodias' sin. Leviticus chapter 20, verse 21. If a man takes his brother's wife, it is impurity. He has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. In Mark chapter 6, verse 19, it tells us exactly why Herod imprisoned John the Baptist. Notice what it states. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. Mark tells us that she waited for an opportune time. It was Herod's birthday. And this woman was so conniving, so evil, like her husband Herod, that she went to her daughter, as the text tells us. Now, historian Josephus tells us that this woman's name was Salome. Herodias' daughter's name was Salome. She was young, very, very young, in her early teens. You see how wicked this woman is? She went to her daughter and she tells her daughter, hey, here is Herod's birthday, and I want you to deceive him. Go and dance before him and all of his friends. Brothers and sisters, this is a very sexual dance. I don't want you to miss this. This woman is putting her daughter in danger. Why? Because she hates Herod, and she wants to kill him. So here's this young girl, Salome, dance that pleased Herod and his friends. And the text tells us that Herod gives her an oath that I'll give you whatever you desire. This young woman, Salome, went back to her mom, and her mom says, ask for John the Baptist's head on a platter. Well, and that's exactly what she asked for. The story tells us here as well that Herod was sorry. And then he killed John the Baptist. This is a story in a nutshell. So come in closer. Come in closer. What application can we get from this? How am I supposed to preach this? I just told you everything in the story. I gave you information about the story. I gave you information about this young woman. I explained to you how wicked they were. I explained to you how righteous John was. What can we get from this? We can get a lot from this. And this is Matthew's point. Coming closer. And don't miss this. Matthew wants you to see the character of John in contrast to the character of Herod. And see for yourself, in John's character, there are two main characteristics that we need to see in this text. The first is, John was a righteous man. John was a righteous man. In the Gospel of Mark, it mentions specifically that Herod said John was a righteous man. That's why he did not want to imprison John the Baptist. Herod himself noticed that. But what does it mean to be a righteous man? Here, I don't want you to think just about the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yes, that is very important. But here specifically, it's talking about practical righteousness. So for us in the New Testament, believers, we believe in the imputed righteousness of Christ. The only way that we can be righteous is because of the righteousness of Jesus. And therefore, we apply that righteousness in our lives. Here, it mentions what is right. John the Baptist is righteous because he is doing what is right. A better word here is holy. This is a holy man. This is a man who always pursues Scripture. He always pursues what is right. His desire is not to please man, but to please God. That's what makes John righteous here. He believes in Scripture, and he follows what Scripture is saying. Can I ask you a question? Are you righteous? Are you standing on the principle, God's word? Are you deviating from God's word? Are you drifting away from God's word? Or are you standing on God's word no matter what? John was a righteous man because he stood on the word of God. I love this. Notice what Scripture mentions in Matthew 5, 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. This is a great beatitude. And here we are noticing that very thing in the life of John the Baptist, hungering and thirsting for righteousness. A story was told about Charles Spurgeon, and blackmailers actually left a note at his church and saying to him, if he did not bring a certain amount of money to a certain place at a certain time, they would basically defame his character. They would write all kinds of stuff about him. They would say he was doing all kinds of stuff. And Spurgeon, being a righteous man, a confident man, a man who loves the Lord, did this. He went to the very place they asked him to leave everything, and he left a note. And in the note, he wrote this: you and your like are requested to publish all you know about me across the heavens. Why is that? Because his life was blameless. He didn't fear anything or anyone. His life was blameless. Can I ask you a question? If blackmailers would come to you and say, do this and do that, give me money, do this and do that, or else I will tell the world, I will tell people about you, what would you do? What would you do? Would you be afraid? Are you truly pursuing righteousness? Because if you are, there is nothing to fear. Nothing at all. John the Baptist was a righteous man, but not only that. Matthew tells us that he was a courageous man. He was bold. He does not consider the consequences. And this is a hallmark of prophetic greatness. We notice this same attitude in the life of Paul and Stephen and Philip. Man, in the 19th century, John Owen, John Huss, all of these men, we notice the same mark, that they were prophetic. They were courageous. They did not back down. Here is a man that we notice in Scripture who was very courageous. He would rather have his life forfeited from him than the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He hungered and thirsted for righteousness, and therefore he was persecuted for righteousness' sake. Notice what Scripture mentions in Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 through 11. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. I love it how the great New Testament scholar A.T. Robertson wrote. Notice what he mentions. It cost him his head, but it is better to have a head like John the Baptist and lose it than to have an ordinary head and keep it. Do you have a head like John the Baptist that pursues righteousness? Pursues righteousness. Come in closer and don't miss this. Don't miss this. This world that we're living in is constantly offended when we talk about the Bible, when we talk about sin, when we talk about the gospel, when we talk about repentance, that they are consistently offended. And we have two choices. Two choices. It's to remain quiet and to be like the world, or to speak up. John the Baptist here was courageous, but he was also outspoken. It's one thing to say that I am righteous, but it's quite a different thing to say I am righteous and outspoken. I speak against the things that are wrong. And here in the text, we notice that's exactly what John the Baptist was doing. The world will not like you when you speak up against sin. So beloved, believers, how are you speaking up against sin like John the Baptist? How are you pursuing righteousness like John the Baptist? How are you courageous? Maybe at your workplace, when you're supposed to speak up, when you're supposed to proclaim Jesus, you are afraid. Maybe they'll fire you. Maybe you won't be as popular. Maybe they won't want to hang out with you anymore. Maybe even at your family gatherings, right? Christmas and New Year's, you gather with your family. But you only pretend to be a Christian in Sunday school and pretend to be a Christian when you're around Christians. But when you're around your lost family members and friends, you act like them. Why? Because you don't want to offend them. You don't. You're fearful of rejection. Listen, I understand. But here in the text, we are called to pattern our lives like John the Baptist. To be righteous. To be courageous. To be outspoken. But not only that. Notice the second point. There is the character of John the Baptist, but there's also the character of King Herod. The character of King Herod. See for yourself how it is the opposite of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a righteous and courageous man. However, King Herod, we notice, was a wicked man. Wicked. Why was he so wicked? Why was he so evil? Matthew tells us. He took his brother's wife, Herodias, married her. He killed an innocent man. He allowed this young girl to dance in front of him. We notice this, that Herod was a wicked man. But see for yourself as well, brothers and sisters. Notice what the text mentions about this man. Herod, here in the text, when he saw Jesus Christ, see for yourself in verse 1, at that time Herod Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus, and he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him." You know what he's doing right here? He is saying, yeah, I killed John the Baptist, but John the Baptist is reappearing. All the things that they're saying about Jesus Christ, this is John the Baptist. He is guilty. His conscience is guilty here. This is a wicked man who pursued the things of the world, who pleased people rather than pleasing God. But not only was he wicked, Herod was weak. He was wicked, but he was weak. Come in closer and write this down. Just as John was fearful of nothing and no one except God, Herod feared almost everything and everyone but God. Let me say this again. Just as John was fearful of nothing and no one except God. Herod was fearful almost everything and everyone but God. This man was a people pleaser. He was fearful of John the Baptist. He was fearful of the crowd. He was fearful of the Jews. He was fearful of his wife. He was fearful of his friends. He was constantly desiring to please people. And this is the struggle in this passage of Scripture. Notice as you read this narrative, it mentions how Herod did not want to imprison John the Baptist. Herod did not want to kill John the Baptist. And it might seem as if Herod is a righteous man, but he wasn't. Herod was a people pleaser. Herod desired to please everyone around him, and he had a guilty conscience. Brothers and sisters, coming close, and I don't want you to miss this. We have so many people in this world like that. They have guilty consciences when it comes to the things of the Lord. They believe everything, but yet they don't believe God. I don't want you to miss this. They seem to be very spiritual people. Horoscopes and spirits and superstitious stuff. That's all the stuff that they're believing in. But when it comes to God and trusting in God, they're not doing that. Why is that? These people are pursuing spiritual things, but they're not pursuing God. Perhaps you know someone like this. Perhaps you're like this. Very spiritual. You talk to them, yeah, this is awesome, and God speaks to me through this and that, and I'm a spiritual person, and I'm constantly talking to the spirits, and I'm constantly doing these things. And this is exactly what we find with Herod. He seems very sensitive to the things of God, but he wasn't. He was just infatuated with John the Baptist. Notice with me very carefully, and I want you to listen. When people stop believing in God, they do not believe in nothing. They believe in anything. I'll say it again. When people stop believing in God, they do not believe in nothing. They believe in anything. Perhaps you know someone like this, and perhaps you are like this. So what can we learn in this passage of Scripture? There is a great contrast. John the Baptist, who was righteous and courageous. And then we notice Herod, who was wicked and weak. We read this and we see a lot. We see the life of the people in ancient times. And we notice it's very similar to our lives, like Herod and his evil conscience, Herodias and her wicked, vengeful ways. Salome, we notice how her mother corrupted her at an early age. The friends of Herod entertaining such evil. But brothers and sisters, I don't want you to miss this in closing. There is a greater contrast, and that's Jesus and Herod. King Jesus and King Herod. King Jesus is mentioned in verse 1. He's mentioned in verse 1. And notice exactly how King Jesus is different than King Herod. Notice, Herod did what those in power do, right? He used his power to preserve his power, but in the end, he lost it and died. However, Jesus laid aside his power and died for his people. And today, he is ruling on high. There's a greater contrast in this text. It's a contrast between Herod and Jesus, King Jesus and King Herod. Notice also another contrast. Herod was a petty king, but he looked kingly. Jesus was the King of Kings, but he appeared in the days of his flesh as a humble Galilean peasant. Which king are you desiring to follow? King Herod or King Jesus? Let's pray. Father, I thank you that as we read this text, as we see about Herod and John the Baptist, and we see the righteousness, the courage, the outspokenness in this man, John the Baptist, may we pattern our lives similarly to that of John the Baptist. May we apply the righteousness that's been imputed in our hearts. Let us be practical. I pray that we can go out and continue to share the principles in Scripture. We never deviate from Scripture, but we stay within Scripture. We stand on Scripture. We proclaim Scripture, even in a world that rejects Scripture. God, please, let us not be like Herod, a people pleaser, a person who had an opportunity to repent, a person who saw the righteousness of God on display, a person who will encounter Jesus and had an opportunity to believe in Jesus but chose not to. So, Father, I pray if there's any in this room today that's like Herod, you will convict their hearts and draw them to the cross. Allow them not to be fearful of people, but to delight in God. Work in their hearts. Save them in your mighty and precious name.